Live Creative Now, episode 75.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator. I'm here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive, and it's how you change the world. My last episode, episode 74, was a replay of an interview with poet and creative coach Mark McGinnis, which was originally published on the Creative Insurgents podcast, a podcast which no longer exists, but which I used to co-host with Corey Huff of The Abundant Artist. It was all about resistance, resilience. There was another R word in there that now I'm completely spacing on, but just a conversation filled with fabulous insights. So if you haven't listened to that, definitely check it out. Today, for episode 75, I want to talk about something that just happened to me recently. Now, you know how they say, when it rains, it pours? Well, that is certainly how I felt this past week, because right now I am intensely focused on my book. I have a book that is publishing on November 15th, which is an incredibly tight deadline for me to finish the book, I actually have my second meeting with my editor to go over the revised draft after getting her suggestions for revisions a week ago. Once I get the text done, I am laying the entire book out, designing it. It will be filled with illustrations, with coloring pages, with little colorable illustrations throughout the book. So that's going to be a huge project in and of itself. Getting the cover designed, promoting the book so that people know about it and actually want to read it. There's just so much to do. I feel like, oh my God, this is super, super cramped, tight deadline. But I am committed to getting this book done before I turn 50, which I'm turning 50 the first week of November. And the book is launching very shortly after that. So it's kind of like all book all the time around here, except that, of course, life doesn't stop or slow down for us, right? Just because we're busy with a particular project, life doesn't stop. And last week, I had a couple of big things that really, you know, interrupted my work on my book. Now, they were great things that I was super, super happy to be doing, but they also pulled me away from my book. So one of the things was that my husband and I took a very quick trip down to San Diego on Sunday and Monday, just one night down there. And really, the reason we went down to San Diego is because we signed up for Global Entry, which is, it's basically like TSA Pre, which allows you to go in once you get past the confirming that you are who you say you are with your identification and your boarding pass. It puts you in a faster line to get through the x-ray scanning and all of that. And you don't have to take your liquids out and you don't have to take your shoes off and all that kind of stuff. So you can get TSA Pre for $85 for 5 years, or for $100 for 5 years, you can get Global Entry, which includes TSA Pre. And it also gets you through customs faster when you go out of the country. The catch is that it's not nearly as quick and easy to finalize your application. So first you apply online And then if you get TSA pre, then there's some local place you go and they just confirm who you say you are. I think they take your fingerprints, ask you a few questions maybe. With Global Entry, you have to make an appointment. And there are a lot fewer places where you can do that. Now, I live very close to one of the places where you can do that, San Francisco Airport. But the appointments are like 6 months out. So we were looking at having to make an appointment in March. And I have some flights coming up that I'd really like to be able to take advantage of this for. So we looked around for what other places we could go to. And we found that there were openings in San Diego. So we thought, okay, fine, we'll take a little mini vacation to San Diego. So that is the sole reason why we went to San Diego. We had a lovely time, but that was really why we're there. 2 days out of my life that I was not able to work on the book. I was doing great things, having a lot of fun, but I wasn't working on the book. And then when I got home, I had no fewer than 4 shows with my improv group, All That Jazz, because some months back, we were accepted into the San Francisco Fringe Festival, and it was time for the Fringe Festival. So yay, I got to perform 4 times. Yay, hooray, this is exciting. And oh no, 4 shows means 4 drives up to San Francisco, 2 of them in rush hour traffic. Actually, there was a 5th drive the week before for a tech rehearsal. So essentially, what that meant was that it ended up being something like, oh my gosh, probably 20 hours altogether out of my week where I was not working on the book. I was doing other things that were great, except sitting in rush hour traffic, but I wasn't working on my book. I mean, this is what happens when you live a rich, full-color life. You know, you have lots of wonderful things to choose from, maybe. And if you choose one, it means that you're unchoosing something else in that particular moment of time. So it was great that I had all these performances and I had a lot less time to put into my book. However, I still managed to get almost 9.5 hours of work done related to the book, writing, editing, various different other things related to the book. And considering that my goal is to put in at least 2 hours a day, and I was gone, completely gone for 2 days, that's not too bad. And having 4 improv shows in 1 week, which had never happened before. I've been performing improv for a couple of years now, and I've never had 4 shows in a week. And that was quite a learning experience. So I thought that I would share with you some of the lessons learned from what I like to refer to as leaping without a net 4 times in 1 week. And I call it leaping without a net because with improv, we don't have a script. We have no idea what we are going to be doing. And there are times when I literally walk on stage for the next scene having absolutely no clue what I'm going to say, maybe who I'm going to be, where we are, nothing. So the first lesson is that this is something I knew, but just really integrating and experiencing that quantity equals improvement. Now, rule number 3 of my Creative Sandbox manifesto is think quantity, not quality. And by the way, you can download a poster with my Creative Sandbox manifesto combined with my Imperfectionist manifesto over on my website. You'll find it in the show notes at livecreativenow.com/075, or just go to my website, livecreativenow.com. You'll find it all over my site. And also, my Creative Sandbox manifesto is really the meat of what my book is about, by the way. So I really dive into the 10 rules of my Creative Sandbox manifesto in my forthcoming book. So rule number 3 is think quantity, not quality. Now, that doesn't mean being sloppy. It means focusing on doing the work, doing the work, doing a lot of the work, because only by doing a lot of the work do you get better at the work. And doing a lot of improv is a great example of this. Now, I have to say that I did not feel that the fourth show out of our four show run was our strongest show. And, you know, you would think sort of the logical progression would be that each show would get better. In my perspective, it didn't actually work that way. However, I could feel how if we were to do that many shows in a week regularly, we would get a lot better, a lot faster, and our baseline would start to improve. So the thing about improv is you're always going to have some shows that aren't as good. That's just reality. But when you get better at it, then your baseline gets higher. So your shows that kind of bomb probably don't bomb as badly. And also, you probably have a higher proportion of good shows to bad shows. And I could feel that, even though we didn't experience it in a very neat and tidy way that I could say, oh yes, number four was our absolute best show, I could still feel it. And the other thing was, I did my vocal exercises in the car on the drive up each day. And oh my God, did I notice a difference in my voice. Now, back when I was studying with my amazing vocal coach, Margot Leduc, I was doing my vocal exercises daily. And my voice, I had the widest range. I developed, my range got wider, and I developed more flexibility and maintained my range and flexibility and just skill level so much better when I was doing my vocal exercises every day. I have not been doing my vocal exercises every day for a few years now. And just doing my vocal exercises four times in 1 week, wow, I noticed such a difference. I noticed a difference as I was doing the exercises, going from my chest voice to my head voice. There's like a break in your voice, and going through that break point, that blending point, became smoother just after four times doing the vocal exercises. My voice got stronger. It's like going to the gym. You know, if you lift weights, you know, and you do 10 reps one day and 12 reps the next day or 2 days later and 14 reps 2 days after that or whatever, you get stronger and you're capable of doing more. And that is what happened with my voice. And I could feel that, although not as directly correlated, but I could feel that happening as well with just my improvisation in general. So that's the first thing. Quantity equals improvement. Think quantity, not quality. The second thing, that this is a lesson, again, I have learned it many times before, but it really reinforced it for me, is that I am a really unreliable judge of my own performance. Now, not all of these shows felt really tight. To me, show number three felt like a little bit of a train wreck, but the audience loved it. We are always our own worst critics. And every show, it was very hard for me not to get sucked into the thinking of, oh my God, that was a bad call, Melissa. Ugh, that really sucked. What are you going to do now? Oh, you ruined it. Oh, this is not going well. Oh, this is such a mishmash. It's a jumble. It's not making sense. It's stupid. It's a train wreck. You know, all those negative gremlin voices. And the really funny thing is, like, that show number three, the next day, one of the volunteers who had seen that show, I was in the bathroom and she walked in and she saw me. And she said, oh, I loved your show yesterday. And I said, thank you. And she said, I really enjoyed myself. It was fabulous. Now, that was her experience. My experience as a performer might have been, this wasn't our best show. It was kind of a train wreck. But that was not her experience. Her experience, which is completely valid, was that it was really enjoyable and really fun. And we did a great job. And show number four, which I also thought was kind of not very tight, a little bit of a train wreck. Our tech guy who saw every single show because he was doing our lights and sound for every show, he thought that one was our tightest and our strongest show of all of them by far. So all of this goes to show that We are unreliable judges of our own performance. And it is so important to remember this because we believe those judgy voices in our own heads. And they're just our opinion. And other people may have different opinions. They may have positive opinions about something that you have a negative opinion about. And really, why should their positive opinion about your performance or your thing be less valid than your negative opinion? So, I'm an unreliable judge of my own performance. And my last point is that if you do something that scares you often enough, it becomes the new normal. The more you do it, the more normal it becomes, and the less scary it feels. So a few years ago, I took my first improv class, I think it was July or August of 2013. So just like 3.5 years ago, I remember in July watching an acquaintance who was in an improv class and they were doing their final performance. And I remember sitting in the audience and thinking, oh my God, that looks so terrifying. I can't really imagine that I'm going to be doing that. I had already signed up for a class, was planning on doing it. I knew that I would somehow get to the place of being able to do it, but I couldn't quite imagine it in that moment. And now I don't even get scared anymore. Sometimes I get a little nervous, but I don't get scared. And I used to be terrified. And the other thing is that it ripples out. So thanks largely to all the improv that I've been doing for the past few years, new situations, new group situations where I used to experience just a ton of internal social anxiety. Other people probably never saw it, but I felt it. I don't have that same experience anymore because being out in front of people, making a fool of myself in public, on stage, whatever, these things have become the new normal for me. So they don't freak me the heck out. So that is thing number three that I sort of learned or relearned or had reinforced over this past week of doing improv 4 times in a week. If you do something scary often enough, it becomes the new normal. The more you do something, the more normal it becomes. So hopefully these little lessons learned from this past week will be helpful for you in your life because they are applicable to not just the world of improv, but to, you know, just to life. So that is what I have to share today. That's it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me today. As I mentioned earlier, and you probably heard me talk about it many times before, I am publishing a book. The working title is The Creative Sandbox Way. And if you would like a free copy, you can apply to be on my launch team. My launch team is a group of basically ambassadors that I am gathering around me to help me spread the word and to write honest reviews of the book when it comes out on Amazon. And you'll be getting an advance PDF copy in order to do that. The party's already started over in our private Facebook group, but I am still accepting applications. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you can find out all the details and apply over at livecreativenow.com/launch team. That's all one word, launch team, no spaces, LAUNCHTEAM, livecreativenow.com/launch team. And if you apply and are accepted, I will see you inside. Until next time, thanks again for joining me, and go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now. Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.